Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew.
It's me, of course, Player Memo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing okay, man. Good to have you on the show, as always.
Hey, glad to be on here, as usual.
And it's also great to have you all, ladies and gentlemen, to check out this episode of Sports Urban Legend. On today's show, we're going to be previewing the upcoming MLB season. You know, our picks who we think are going to go to the World Series and win it. And also preview the upcoming Hard Games at Extreme Rules pay-per-view event. But, you know, most importantly, we'd love to hear from you. And that number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. Again, let your voice be heard. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, you know, let's talk baseball, man. And who would have thought in a million years, you know, before this year, that we'd be having opening day for the Mets and the Yankees and all the other baseball teams in July.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we had spring training in July, you know, summer camp, you know, and you know, both the, you know, Mets and Yankees played their first exhibition game against each other. And, you know, right now there's a Tinker Tape parade, you know, down in Manhattan, even though, you know, everybody's quarantined, you know, because, you know, Yankees won the first game of the exhibition game. So, by the final score, 9-3. You know, Mac, you know, he almost took the day off, you know, the rest of the night off, but didn't come on because he was,
yeah,
just celebrating, high fiving,
uh-huh,
or at least elbow bumping, you know,
yeah,
and some fellow Yankee fans, you know,
uh-huh,
for their big victory.
This exhibition game, I want the real game to start later this week. That's when the real game starts.
Yep. The real game starts for you on Wednesday night. I mean, yeah, Wednesday against
the Thursday.
Defense.
No? Nationals?
Yeah, the Nationals. I think isn't yours Thursday? I think mine's is Thursday. I think yours is Wednesday. Mine's is Thursday. I'm pretty sure yours is Wednesday. I think yours is 23rd. Mine's is 24th.
Okay. Thursday actually. Thursday 7. For Yankees against Nationals.
On Thursday?
Yeah. 23rd.
And Mets is it? Oh, okay. Gotcha. And because I know mine was 24th. I mistake the days of the week. So, yeah, Thursday is the 23rd for the Yankees against the defending world champions Nationals. I mean, who would have thought I'd be saying this prior to, you know, October baseball last year? But, you know, Nationals, they stunned everybody. And, you know, won it all. I mean, I know they got the great pitching with Scherzer and why are they escaping my head? What's his name again? Strasburg.
Yep.
You know.
Nola.
What?
No, not Nola. Sorry,
no, not
that's
Nola.
That's Philly.
That's,
I'm thinking,
yeah,
about.
Philly. Who's the other guy they got? Greinke.
Yep, Greinke.
You know, they got it. You know, they got it.
They got him from Astros. Right?
No, Arizona, I think. Didn't they? I think they got him from Arizona.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah. I'm thinking of Zach Greinke.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Didn't he get traded to them?
No, he's still with Astros, right? Isn't he?
Oh, wait. What am I thinking about? Yeah, you're right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was a big off-season trade. Yeah, he went to the Astros, right?
Right,
because they took him after, you know, to counter Cole coming to the Yankees.
Right.
The aforementioned Yankees. Who's the third person I'm thinking that they signed?
Well, no, Greinke, they got him mid-season last year. Remember when they had Greinke, Cole, and Verlander?
No. I'm talking about the trying to think who the heck they had. Oh no, wait, who's that guy? He's a hurler. He's from Corbin. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Corbin is the third person I was thinking of.
I see.
Yeah, Greinke was the big off-season move. You know, in the first off-season, you know, before, you know, the pandemic hit, you know, shut everything down. But you know, the Yankees are going to be facing the defending world champion Yankees, and then of course, Mets will be opening off against the Braves. What's your thoughts on this? The Yankees opening up.
Oh yeah, it's great. You know, get to see, you know, some of these guys. I'm just excited. Baseball is back, man. You know, this COVID-19 has pretty much ruined everything, including sports.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to see baseball's back, and glad to see, you know, Yankees are back into form after this 9-3 whooping. Even though it's an exhibition game, you know, I like the way these guys are. You know, good to see these guys like Tauchman and Crowd. Some of these guys are going to be, you know, backups and coming off the bench. Nice to see them playing well. But, you know, I want to see some of the other guys as well. The main guys, Judge, Sanchez, you know, want to see how they're going to fare during the season because, you know, usually they're injury prone during the year. So hopefully this is an injury-free year for all the Yankees. You know, and hopefully the other guys that were injured early on, hopefully they've recovered and have been resting up to get ready for opening day. But, you know, I think this is going to be a good year for the Yankees. I mean, on paper, you know, you can make a case, you know, they're World Series favorites, as they are pretty much every other year. But, you know, this year there's high expectations, especially, you know, getting Cole. You know, the Yankees should be there in October. But I don't know how they're going to set up. I mean, do they still have the league set up where it's going to be combined, we have American National League in one division, or are they going to stick with normal divisions? How is that going to be set up?
I don't even remember, to be honest with you, because I know they were talking about, making everybody. I'm assuming it's regular because.
Okay.
I know they were talking about having all the, you know, having them a grapefruit versus Cactus League. World Series kind of thing where all the national, there would be no National League, no American League, everything would be jumbled up. But I think that's been shelved because we're playing in our home parks.
Right.
Everybody's playing in their home parks except for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Right.
You know, they can't play in Toronto.
I see.
So they can't play in the Sky Dome. So let's say, hypothetically speaking, you know, they upset the Yankees, you know, in the playoffs and go to the World Series. They cannot issue the ultimate challenge at Sky Dome against the Mets or any National League team they'd face.
Oh, so okay. So I see it now. So here's a breakdown that they have. So it's gonna be 60-game schedule starting July 23rd for all teams. And pretty much teams will not venture outside their regions. So you're only going to have the East teams play each other and the West teams play each other. For instance, NL East will go against AL East.
Correct. Yeah.
So the American League, Yankees, for example, they only play National League East teams. Those are the only National League teams that they're going to play this year. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
which I think is, it's, you know, that's kind of like the old days. Because in the old days, you didn't have the American League teams play the National League teams that often.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's actually good. And then each team will play 10 games apiece against its division. Okay. Which is not bad. So 40 games total against division teams. Okay, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually could work out, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you got the DH now in the National League. So after seeing what the DH looks like tonight, what do you think?
I
thought there wasn't any difference to it, honest.
Did
you see any difference?
I mean, I watched it here and there. I didn't watch the whole thing, to be honest with you. But, you know, I think once I watch a real game, it'll affect me. Because, I mean, I just wave the white flag, man. This is what's going to happen. So, you know, I just hope the Mets will take advantage of it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, because they're the team in the National League that benefits the most from it. I mean, Braves, Nationals, they are a good team too, so it benefits them too. They got veterans on their team also.
Yeah.
Freeman's back. I mean, he dealt with you know, coronavirus. He's back with his team. So, you know, it's gonna be a tough NL East. You know.
Yeah.
For the Mets as usual. You know,
your boy Cespedes is back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he always has that lot of potential. You know, change the Met offense. You know, 5 years ago when he came to the team, he was the offense. You know, with the exception of
La Potencial.
No, what's his name? Murphy. You know.
Yep.
Destroying the opposition in the in the postseason up until, you know, the World Series, you know. And then you had Conforto, you know, getting the bomb. Yep. made those had that game when made the Royals pitchers feel real uncomfortable. You know, hitting those two home runs, you know. You know, but unfortunately, you know, it wasn't meant to be, but this offense has a potential to be better than that 2015 team because anything you get from Cespedes is a give, you know, is a bonus, you know. But, you know, if everybody stays healthy, they got a strong offense. And, you know, of course, they have, you know, DeGrom trying to win back-to-back, signing awards, trying to go for the trifecta, would be the first Met to do it if he does it. And he'd be in rarefied air if he does that as well. Syndergaard, unfortunately, you know, he's out for the rest of the year. I think he needs time to get on surgery, or he had it
earlier. Oh, yeah.
So they're going to need Porcello, Waka, and, of course, Max. Did I miss anybody? Stroman to, pick up the slack.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they got the potential to do it. So, you know, Porcello, he's been a good pitcher his whole career with the exception of last year. Stroman, you know, he started off a little shaky when he came to the Mets and then he turned it around in his last couple of starts. Mats, you know, he's pitched a lot better these last two starts. He's been able to pitch like at least, 30 games. And, you know, before that, he was injury prone. So, he looks like he's making the change to his career, you know, being a reliable starter.
This year, would you say that the Mets have more question marks regarding their pitching rotation than any other year? Because of the fact that Syndergaard is out and, you know, right now, I mean, who's that number two starter for the Mets?
I would say Stroman. Stroman would be their second. Stroman will be their second, and then
Stroman was, you know, he was a bit inconsistent last year when he came over.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully,
Porcello,
you know, can
Porcello,
be that number two guy.
Yeah, Porcello has that chance to be the you know, a number two starter also.
Yeah, yeah, Porcello, you know, had some good years with the Red Sox, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a chance to be a number two starter, you know, for sure. Matt, I think he's going to do good, you know. And Waka, you know, he's going to need to turn back the clock like he did with his Cardinal days 2013 season. You know, the Mets, I mean, yeah, I guess, the Mets do have some question marks. But I would say that most of the question marks would be more so in the bullpen, the back end of the bullpen with Familia and Diaz, because the Mets pitching, you know, they have the potential to be really good. I mean, obviously they're missing Syndergaard, so I mean that's a hit right there. But my biggest, to me, the biggest X factors for the Mets is Diaz one, Familia two, and then three would be Cespedes, which I think he'll definitely bounce back because the pressure won't be on him and he's in another walk year. But if Familia don't bounce back, then Mets aren't going to do anything, period. You know, Mets last year, they had a good season. If Diaz and Familia were doing their thing, and if Mickey Callaway, you know, was, in my opinion, at least a mediocre manager, they would have made the playoffs, you know.
Did Diaz pitch tonight?
Yeah, he gave up like two runs.
Wow.
And then Familia, he gave up one run, but apparently he pitched well. It was just they made a lot of errors, you know. Sound like I'm talking about the 2015 World Series. but I digress.
These relievers now, there's this three batter minimum. So now, you know, it's going to be tough to get some of these specialists into the game these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be tougher for managers to manage. So how do you feel about that, about, you know, this three batter rule for relievers?
No, I don't like it. I mean, I think a manager should have free range to do what he wants to do. The only loophole is if you bring someone in to get the last out of the inning.
Yeah.
You know, you could do that. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of, you know, that change of, you know, basically taking away the strategies from the manager. And then another thing that's even worse is the extra inning game. You start off with a batter in scoring position.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think that's dumb.
I think that's a dumb idea. I mean, it's not fair. You
give a team a scoring chance right off the bat.
Yeah, there was a Met or Yankee pitcher that voiced it, that publicly voiced their opinion. I think it might have been your boy Ottavino that might have said something. I can't remember who, but I think it was him, probably him. But in any case, you know, so it's a bad idea.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and in other Mets news, there's rumors that A-Rod and J-Lo met with Robert Kraft, you know, to potentially help them buy the Mets or also join the ownership or give them advice. I mean, the rumor has been conflicting. Some rumors say, you know, he's not interested in, owning the Mets or being partial ownership with, you know, A-Rod and J-Lo's group. Some people think A-Rod and J-Lo came to visit to just ask some advice, and maybe he's just interested in the real estate around Citi Field. I mean, the reports are conflicting, you know, with his interests. But, I'm just hoping that it's either A-Rod and J-Lo's group or, you know, Steve Cohen's group. Because all these other groups, I don't trust them. You know what I mean? Those are the only two groups I that I trust out of, you know what I mean? Because the two type of people I want to to own the team is either one, you're a Mets fan, or two, and or you're a baseball fan. You're competitive. No matter you're a professional. You will spend the money no matter what to make the team improve. So, you know, if you're a Mets fan, you're gonna do everything you can to make the Mets, become world champions and hopefully hoist it up as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But, if you're not a baseball fan, you're just doing it for, to make a profit, it's not, the team isn't going to go anywhere. As a matter of fact, if you don't spend the money in sports and you put it in your pocket and you don't spend to improve the team, you're not going to make money, because at the end of the day, if your team, you're not producing a good team, the fans are not going to want to show up. And if your team isn't good, you're not going to make it to the postseason. And if you don't make it to the postseason, you're not going to make postseason money. So just on a competitive level, you want your team to be in striking distance of winning a championship anyway. So in a business and a competitive sense, you want your team to be in the running every year. So I'm just hoping whoever the Mets have, whoever will be the next Mets owner, will care about the fans and try to, put a product that Mets fans could be proud of.
Yeah, invest in the team.
Exactly, man, because, the Mets fans, they don't just want a championship. They don't just want to see that third World Series ring, that third World Series title, back where it belongs in Flushing. We need it. No more Mr. Nice Guy, man. We need that title back. It's been since 86. You know what I mean? We need the title. You know what I'm saying? Enough is enough.
Yep.
It's time for a change, to quote Owen Hart. We need that. We need the title. We don't just want it. We need the title. So 2020, let's do this. Let's do this, Mets. Let's go. So my pick for to see the World Series is going to be Mets versus Yankees. Mets will stun the world, overthrow the Dodgers again in the playoffs, because ever since 88, Mets have had the Dodgers number. And if you remember in 88, the Mets dominated the Dodgers in the regular season. They won at least, 10 out of the 12 games or so that they faced them in the regular season. But, David Cohen, gave an interview that was criticizing the Dodgers, and the Dodgers used it as bulletin board material, and the rest is history. The Dodgers upset the Mets, and then afterwards, of course, they beat the A's for their last ever championship. Most notable for Kirk Gibson hitting the walk-off home run off Dennis Eckersley in game one of the World Series. So enough is enough, man. Mets are going to beat the Dodgers, NLCS, and face the Yankees. But this time, I don't know if Macaulay's listening. I know he's a Yankees fan.
Oh, no, I'm listening.
But this time, there will be a happy ending. The storybook ending will happen for the Mets. And if it doesn't happen, then I'm going to be committed.
Well,
because the Mets have to be committed to winning this championship.
Well, it's good to have dreams. But I think the only happy ending you're going to see is at a massage parlor. Because it's going to be Yankees and Dodgers, I think, in the World Series this year. Yankees, Dodgers. Write it down right now.
That's what everybody thinks. But I'm going against the grain. You gotta believe.
Okay.
So I'm picking the Mets to upset the Dodgers, going to the World Series, facing the Yankees, and defeating the Yankees. 20-year anniversary of the Subway Series. Let's go.
And, you know, if Robert Kraft does buy the Mets, he actually knows a lot about happy endings, if you know what I mean.
Okay, we get the picture, man. But hopefully he can buy the you know, J-Lo and they'll, you know, get the team. But I don't think, to be honest with you, I don't think he's going to get involved, to be honest with you. I don't see it.
Never know.
I think he's just content being with the Patriots. I don't think Robert Kraft can do it. I don't think he thinks he could take on the task of making the Mets win a championship. I don't know. I think he's content with just the Patriots. I'd be pleasantly surprised if he becomes part of the ownership of the Mets.
You never know. You know?
I hope so. That'd be sweet. That would be awesome. Because you know for sure, his resume says it all.
Yeah.
He is the type of owner the Mets need.
We'll see. You know, anything's possible.
So I hope whoever the Mets owner is, they're gonna be competitive. They're not gonna be cheap. They're not gonna make the Mets embarrassment. You know, of the league. You know, training away their good young prospects and then getting nothing in return, getting aging players. This is the time, man. Mets are gonna, you know, improve in the draft, which they have been past couple of years. Time they gotta spend the money, bring some players. So time will tell who the Mets sell their team to. This decision will impact the Mets for at least the next decade. If they sell the team to the wrong person, the next time the Mets will go to a World Series would be 2030. That's right. But if they make the right decision, by 2025, they will hoist again if they make the right decision. So you got to believe. You got to believe. That's all I got to say about that. So that's my pick. Mets versus Yankees, and this time the heroes of the fairy tale will win. You will get a Hollywood ending, unlike, you know, the Dodgers, you know, thinking they're gonna write a Hollywood ending where they make it against the Yankees and win, like if it was 1981. Not this time. Let's go, Mets. 2020. Let's do this.
All right.
So that's my prediction. All right, so that's it. I might look stupid in October, you know, but you got to believe. But, okay, yes. Let me put an asterisk. Let me be very specific. Mets will accomplish their goals. They will win a World Series if, and I underline if and only if, Diaz and Familiar bounce back.
Well, if they bounce back, you know, you definitely will have a playoff. I think you'll definitely be in a playoff hunt.
I think this Mets team is good. You know, I think
with this shortened season, anything's possible.
So we'll see what happens. But Yeah, let's shift gears. Let's talk about this upcoming pay-per-view event, the horror show at Extreme Rules. Pay-per-view coming up tonight. I could have sworn that we had another Extreme Rules earlier this year.
Yeah, me too. I could have sworn we did, but looks like we did.
Because that would have been dumb if they had two Extreme Rules. Because they did have Roadblock twice 1 year, I think, or maybe back-to-back years, very close in proximity.
Yeah.
I think when Dean Ambrose had the title or something like that, like a year or two ago. But I digress. Yeah, let's get to the show. This reveal event. So we have New Day, of course, is Big E and Kofi versus Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. A tables match for the WWE SmackDown Championship. And
wow.
Yeah, so
that's gonna be a good match, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I could see definitely New Day retaining, but it makes more sense for Cesaro and Nakamura to win the titles. I mean, they definitely need this push. New Day will always get it back from them, so I think they need the upset, Cesaro and Nakamura.
You know, this is going to be a very good match. Might possibly be the best match of the night, looking at the, you know.
I think so, yeah.
All the matches for the pay-per-view, but I'm going to go with Big E and New Day retaining the titles. Big E and Kofi retaining the titles.
Yeah, I could definitely see them retaining it. Yeah, they definitely, this would be a great time for Cesaro and Nakamura to win it. But, hey, for all we know, there could be a rematch at SummerSlam, so.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I'm going to go out of the limb. I'm most likely going to be wrong. Because with WWE, you got to just play it by the books, man. Because most of these times, they don't do anything out of the ordinary. So, you know, I'm gonna say Cesaro and Nakamura, even though, WWE is probably gonna play it safe and just Big E and Kofi retain it again.
Yeah, I think that's just gonna happen.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. Apollo Crews, the United States champion versus the fake United States champion, MVP, and the title is for the United States championship. And I don't know about you, but what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? I was confused. You know, MVP, unveiled the new United States championship. I was thinking, like, maybe they stripped, Apollo Crews of the title and, MVP just awarded himself it. But MVP just created a new United States Championship. So I guess they're going to battle for MVP's title, even though Apollo Crews is the new champion. So, I mean, he's still the champion.
Yeah.
But with that said, Apollo Crews is going to retain it.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, I could see Lashley interfering. They're causing Apollo to lose the title MVP. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with the MVP becoming the new champion.
Yeah, that's all.
And then he could probably hand over the title to Lashley. I don't know if that'd be legal, but I could see him doing that.
Well, I guess technically it's not possible because Andre the Giant won the title back in the day. It's his only title, and then he handed it. To Ted DiBiase, and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe days later, it wasn't recognized as, him being the new champion.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I would assume. But then again, WWE always contradicts themselves. So who knows? I mean, the past couple of years, they've had Hell in the Cell matches and in disqualification. A no disqualification match ending in a disqualification. And then when you think about it, what was it, a few months ago or was it a month ago? When they had, Street Profit battle against the Viking Raiders. Technically, the match didn't start, but, I mean, come on. It was a no disqualification match. But it didn't officially start, but then they were fighting each other all over the place. And then they switched gears and battled ninjas, you know. But in any case, who knows? Who knows what WWE is going to do?
Another scenario would be where Lashley interferes, causes Apollo Crews to lose the title to MVP. MVP gains, you know, becomes a new champion. And then maybe on the following night on Raw, MVP allows Lashley to pin him for the title.
Oh.
Kind of like back in WCW where Kevin Nash allowed Hogan to pin him for the championship. I don't know if you remember that, but...
Yeah.
You know.
With the... And then of course, you had the finger point of doom where Kevin Nash was battling Hogan. And
yeah, that's
Hogan
what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Right. Yes, they're right. That. Oh yeah, what I was talking about also was the heck was I talking about? Oh yeah, the European title, Triple H, Shawn Michaels was pretending like he was gonna fight Shawn Michaels, but then he let Triple H pin him to win the European title, and that was, I think, Triple H's first ever title win.
Right.
As a singles competitor. So that might happen. That scenario could happen again.
Yeah, you never know.
But yeah, I think Apollo Crews is gonna retain it. Well, he's gonna retain it, and then I guess gain MVP's title.
MVP
but
has a title.
Remember, MVP has the new version of the United States Championship.
Yeah, well, it's just fake.
Yeah,
but that's why I think MVP is going to win, because once MVP wins, he'll probably replace that his new version with the that new version over the one that Apollo Crews has.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because if Apollo Crews retains his title, then it would be weird for him to be like, yo, I like this title more. I'm listening to this one. So yeah, it would make more sense if MVP would win it, and that as a result he becomes a new champion and then institute the new title that way. See, that's where WWE messed up. They should have unveiled the new title after MVP won.
Oh yeah,
would have won.
Right.
That was bad timing on their part. That's what kind of confused me, because it was like they stripped. I was thinking they stripped Apollo Crews of the title. And then
it was confusing at first for me too.
That's it was last week or so? They were like, Apollo's still the champion, you know, they're gonna battle each other up. And I'm like, okay, then how is there a new champion? Like, that's a weird
Weird. Well, he had something similar back in the day when Shawn Michaels had that fake Intercontinental belt claiming to be the real champion. And then he had Razor Ramon win both the fake and the real Intercontinental title in that ladder match at WrestleMania.
Right.
So maybe there's a scenario where Apollo Crews holds up both U.S. titles, fake and real.
I guess so. I guess that's the only scenario I guess we could think of. What you said makes more sense. Your logic makes more sense for it to happen.
Yeah, to replace, for MVP to win and just replace that current US with his version.
Yeah. Unless Apollo is like, hey, I just want to, you know, rub in your face.
yeah,
this is going to be the new title. But, yeah, it makes more logical sense for MVP to win it and then officially show his title as the new one.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? I'm going to stick to my guns, even though what you said makes more sense. But, yeah, I think I'm going to stick to my guns, even though I'm going to still pick Apollo Crews, even though your logic makes more sense.
Yeah.
And speaking of not making sense, this upcoming match is Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins, an eye for an eye match. And they revealed, what was it, last week? That it's not just a typical, you know, eye for an eye, like, you know, okay, I want to get revenge. No, folks. WWE wants to take it to a whole new other level. It's literally an eye for an eye, as Seth Rollins explained it on Raw. So, if you thought the Inferno match was extreme, I can't even think of another like really extreme match. That's like, I mean, that's like, you mean like a legit like insane match?
Yeah, extracting the person's eye.
This is
Mortal Kombat brutality.
This is insane. This is insane and dumb at the same time. I would rather see a chairs match than this. Like seriously, like why the hell would they come up with an idea of literally pulling some dude's eye out? Like, is this a PG? Is this Samurai PG era? Like,
yeah, that's
this
weird.
Is a dumb idea. It's literally a dumb idea. I thought the chairs match was a dumb idea, but this one really takes the cake or the eye. Yeah, I mean this is really a dumb idea.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it, man. I mean, so you have an eyeball?
So either they're going to seriously injure somebody, or most likely they're going to have a fake eyeball,
yeah,
you know, come out somehow and be like, oh, my eye. Ding, 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 ding. And then they just throw it into the Inferno. I mean, like,
so weird.
It's a dumb idea. I mean, it sounds extreme. I know it's extreme rules, but this is like really, what's next? You know, they're going to have a decapitation match? Like, where are they going to draw the line? Like, this is ridiculous. Like,
yeah. I think this might end up in a no contest. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see it happen, of course.
They never said it was a no disqualification match, right?
No, I don't think so.
You might have a point there, because it's assumed that it's a no disqualification match, because the only way you could win the match is by, you know, plucking your opponent's eye out.
Right.
So normally that would be a no disqualification match, but
yeah.
Maybe you have a point there, because they never specifically said that it's a no disqualification match. Like I said a few minutes ago, the last two Hell in the Cell matches ended in disqualification. So WWE will find some way to do something stupid. So, all right. With that said, explain this. Given this whole college style essay and thesis about this idiotic match, I'm picking Seth Rollins to win this.
Wow.
I have a feeling
that it's going to end in a no. Somehow there's not going to be a winner, I think.
It's Seth Rollins, I'm telling you. Seth Rollins, I bet Seth Rollins is going to win.
So So Rey Mysterio's eyeball is going to be in Seth Rollins' hand?
Yep. He already wears a mask. He already lost one of them, apparently, or it's the other one's damaged badly or whatever.
No.
So he'll just be blind. And that will end his career. And Seth Rollins will just walk around with his eyeball, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait, like a necklace. I don't know. I don't know what weird stuff that they're
Yeah, very weird.
So with that said, I think it's Seth Rollins will win. Oh yeah, you still think? Okay, let's say if it doesn't end in disqualification, who do you think will win, Seth Rollins or Rey Mysterio?
I'll go Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio, and then you probably see Seth Rollins with a patch, wearing a patch for the rest of his wrestling career, like a pirate.
I just gotta see it. You think this is funny? I'm wearing an eye patch.
Yep.
I could see him saying that. I could see him saying that, but I don't think they're gonna do that to Seth Rollins, man. They would rather do that to Rey Mysterio. I mean, he's at the end of his career. They already made him lose one of his eyes or severely damage one of his eyes. So in any case, I think they're gonna just complete the look, and Rey Mysterio is gonna be blind. You know. That'll be the end of a dumb way to end a legendary career, but, you know, this is what WWE wants to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, up next is a swamp fight match. A Wyatt swamp fight. And it's going to be Bray Wyatt, the old school Bray Wyatt, OG Bray Wyatt, versus the monster among men, Braun Strowman. Despite the title of this match, I definitely think Braun Strowman's gonna win this match.
Oh yeah. No, I think Bray Wyatt's. Oh, you said Bray Wyatt, right?
No, Braun Strowman.
Oh, you think Braun Strowman's gonna win?
Is it for the title? Because I'm looking here.
It's a non-title match.
Before they were saying it's a title match.
Really? I heard that it's not a title. It's a non-title.
Before they were saying it was a title match.
I don't know. Right here,
I'm reading it. It doesn't look like it doesn't say it's for the title anymore. For whatever.
Yeah, I heard that it's not for the title.
That's dumb.
It would make sense for Bray Wyatt to win it, and then probably have the Fiend win it on the next pay per view.
Yeah, then if that's the case, if this is a non-title match, then Bray Wyatt will win it. Then.
Yeah, I'm going with Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt will win it. If this was legit a non-title match, Bray Wyatt's going to win this because there's no point of Bray Wyatt losing if it's a non-title match. It would make no sense.
Yeah.
Wow, this is really a non-title match.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Man, that's a joke. That is a joke. In the pay-per-view event, the champion's not even using his title. Okay. So, let me see what else is next. So in that case, if it's a non-title match, then Bray Wyatt will win. If it is a title match, Braun Strowman will retain. But yeah, looks like you're right. It's a non-title match. That's ridiculous, but it is what it is. All right, let's see what else is. Let's see what other match they have. Yes, it is Bayley, the SmackDown Women's Champion, defending the title against Nikki Cross. And I think Bayley will retain.
It'd be good to see Nikki win it, but yeah, I don't think they're going to put the title on her right now.
Yeah, me too. I think Bayley's going to win it.
Mm-hmm. And then on, whatchamacallit, what was I going to say? For the Raw Women's Championship, Asuka, the champion, will defend her title against Bayley's best friend, Sasha Banks, for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. And I think Asuka will retain that.
Yeah, I think Asuka will retain it as well.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if all of these matches that the people retained it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel this way. I'm really, as I'm going through this, I'm starting to feel like this is what's going to happen. Even I did pick Cesaro and Nakamura to win it. I think it's something that looks like all the people are going to retain. This pay-per-view is going to be a wash because, spoiler alert, Drew McIntyre puts his title on the line against his old friend, Dolph Ziggler, for the WWE Championship. And as you could tell what I said a few seconds ago, Dolph Ziggler, he's not going to win. I'm so sure of it that I might even say that Dolph Ziggler has a 100% chance of losing. And I don't. And I never say I'm 100% sure unless I'm 100% sure. There might be a 1% doubt, but I don't know. This is as close as a bet that I'm going to put. This is as close to 100% I'm going to say. There's no way Dolph Ziggler is going to win this match. And this guy's a former champion. Twice, if I'm serving me right. But yeah,
no
Dolph, Ziggler,
Dolph Ziggler
is not going to win the title.
I agree. I think
just
Drew McIntyre will retain.
Just like Braun Strowman had a 67% chance of losing the title against Miz and Morrison, but we all knew there was no way he was going to lose that title. In this same case, Drew McIntyre will retain against Dolph Ziggler. It might even be a squash match, to be honest with you. Because, hey, if he could squash Brock Lesnar in 5 minutes and then squash his buddy Heath Slater in like 3 seconds or so, you know, Dolph Ziggler, man, he might, this, I wouldn't be shocked if it was a squash match.
It could happen, you know.
Well, that's about it, man. Anything you would like to say?
No, just everyone stay cool during this heat wave, especially if you're in the East Coast. And, yeah, just come back, check out the show every Saturday night at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
Well, you heard the guy. Check out the show. Every Saturday is at 11. And, of course, you want to check out my YouTube channel, Sports of the Legend TV. Check that out on YouTube. And, enjoy the games coming up. Baseball season starting. This Thursday and Friday. So, he's McCall. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.